Boyhood in a Close Family. Pictures of young Tommy show a handsome lad with a lively, engaging expression and an occasional twinkle of impishness in his eye. He would be the first to admit that he was a typical boy. He relates the story about an experience in primary. During my Trekker year, a class for 10-year-olds, I remember that our deportment in primary was not always as it should be. I had a lot of energy and found it difficult to sit patiently in a class. Melissa Georgia was our ward primary president. One day she asked me if I could visit with her. We sat on the front row of the benches in the chapel, and she began to cry. She then told me that she was sad because the boys in particular did not behave during primary opening exercises. Innocently I asked, "May I help, Sister Georgiel?" With a smile on her face and a twinkle in her eye, she responded, "Would you?" I told her I would. "The primary's disciplinary problems ceased that moment," he laughs. At 500 South and 200 West in Salt Lake City, Thomas Condy had built 4 houses for his daughters and their families. In Condy's Terrace, as the area became known, Tommy Monson was always surrounded by family, feeling free to visit in any of his cousins' homes, almost as though they were his own. He enjoyed visits to the Condy family farm out in Granger, an area of the Salt Lake Valley that was rural then, but is now covered by subdivisions and shopping areas. Until his mid-teens, when summer jobs began to take priority, he dearly loved spending time at the family cabin in Provo Canyon's Vivian Park, about 60 miles from home. There he played with cousins in the outdoors, swam in the river, once saving the life of a young woman who was drowning, and it was there he learned to love fishing, a pastime he has enjoyed all his life. He also learned to enjoy hunting ducks and other game birds, but over time nurturing and protecting birds would become much more the norm for him. As a boy, he had been fascinated by pigeons and began to raise them at home. Eventually, he would raise prize-winning birds. In fact, his pigeons were the key to some lasting lessons in leadership. For example, when young Tom Monson was president of the teachers' quorum in his ward, he was thrilled when the quorum advisor inquired about his interest in raising birds. The advisor then asked, "How would you like me to give you a pair of purebred Birmingham roller pigeons?" The female of the pair was special, the advisor explained. She had only one eye, the other eye having been damaged by a cat. On his advisor's instructions, he kept them in his own pigeon loft for about 10 days, then let them fly free to see if they would return. The male came back, but the female flew away, back to the advisor's home. When Tom went to retrieve her, the advisor talked with him about a boy in the quorum who was not active. Tom replied, "I'll have him at quorum meeting this week." He took the pigeon home, but the next time he released the pair, she flew once again to the advisor's home. When Tom retrieved the pigeon this time, the advisor talked about another boy who had not been coming to quorum meetings. Each time the pigeon was released, she returned to the advisor's home. And each time Tom went to retrieve her, there would be a conversation about another boy. "I was a grown man," President Monson recalls, "before I fully realized that indeed Harold, my advisor, had given me a special pigeon, the only bird in his loft he knew would return every time she was released." It was his inspired way of having an ideal personal priesthood interview with a teacher's quorum president every 2 weeks. Because of those interviews and that old one-eyed pigeon, every boy in that teacher's quorum became active.